Psalm chapter 24.
Thank God, thank God, thank God.
Hallelujah. Psalm chapter number 24.
Maybe everyone has it now. When you finally just hold it there, 3 months before the events that are outlined in this chapter, the Bible tells me that David called some 30,000 of his men. And they went to the city of Gibeah, about 5 to 6 miles north of Jerusalem, to the house of a man by the name of Abinadab, because there at his house was the Ark of the Covenant. And David took these men with him to get the ark, bring it back to Jerusalem, and put it in the tabernacle that David had prepared for the tabernacle. Remember this, the tabernacle represented the presence of God. And Jerusalem was the headquarters, the capital, and the ark of the covenant was in Gibeah. And so David takes these men and go to Gibeah, to the house of Abinadab, to get the ark and bring it back home. And when they arrived in Gibeah, they began to prepare the ark for transport. And the Bible says when they started towards home that the oxen stumbled. Mm-hmm. And Asa, yeah, a Jew, Hebrew, reached out his hand to steady the ark, praying that it might be damaged, it might fall from the cart. And when he did, the Bible said God smote him and he died. Now I'm going to stop right there. I really believe in my own heart. I think that probably Asa had a good heart. I believe that he really wanted to do good. I believe that he really desired to somehow keep the ark of the covenant of God, which represented the presence of God, keep it from being damaged. And so he reached out to keep it from falling off the ark, off the cart. And when that happened, fear struck the heart of David. And David decided we cannot take the ark home. And so he left it there. He left it at the house of another that was close by the name of Obed-Edom. Some have pronounced it Obed-Edom, but the correct pronunciation after looking it up again is Obed-Edom. And they went on back home. 3 months later, David gets his men together again, go to Gibeah, to the house of Obed-Edom, and get the ark. But this time they did not put it on a new cart. They didn't put it on an old cart. They didn't put it on any cart. They did what God told them to do in the first place. They put it on the shoulders of the Levites. Let me leave this with you. The reason that Uzziah was smitten by God, that David had fear strike his heart, is because they didn't go God's route. Amen. They didn't do what God told them to do. And I thought tonight, as I was preparing the sermon, I thought, isn't that like so many tonight, so many of our generation feel like, I just can't go that way, I can't do this, I can't do that. And so they decide that I'll do what I want to do. Uh-huh. If we go God's way, everything will work out right, but if we don't, there's danger ahead. And so I thought, how many people decide to do their own thing, to do things their own way, and the end thereof is always of death. My God help us. And so this time, David goes with his men, get the ark from the house of Abinadab, and head for home, and the Bible said they don't have a dinner to check it all out. The Bible said we're back yonder in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, how that they put this ark on a new cart, but now David found out they were supposed to put it on the shoulders of the Levites, not on a new cart. And so they decided we'll go God's route. And so they put it on the shoulders of the Levites and started home. And now we come to the 24th chapter of the book of Psalms, and it's believed. It's believed that while they were going home with the tabernacle on the shoulders of the Levites, and they were singing this song. And I'm going to read the 21st Psalm. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein.
He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek the face of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up the everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Amen, amen. I want to preach tonight from that 24th chapter of the book of Psalms. It was a time of joy. It was a time of happiness. It was a time of thanksgiving as they were going home the right way. They were climbing the right road and they're going about everything the right way. Did you know something tonight? The best way is always God's way. The Bible says his ways are not our ways, but what's the best of that? But his ways are always the best. That might be paraphrased a little bit in your own way. His ways are not our ways, but his ways are always best. Remember that. The ways of the Lord are always best. These were God's chosen people. And they were worshiping and praising God. And they were the seed of Abraham. And they were living in the land that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an inheritance. And they had a lot to rejoice about. Listen to this. They were God's chosen people. They were blessed of God. And they were living in a land that God had given them. And it said it's going to be yours forever. Amen. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to praise God for. So let me just stop there. What is going on in the Middle East tonight? Having to do with the land of Israel and sharing that with the Palestinians. And with all the way back to Sadat and Menachem Begin and Jimmy Carter, our president. All the way back to the 70s, they've been working on a peace plan, peace treaty somehow, so that these two nations can live together and share the land, and part of the land be of the Palestinians, and part of the land be the Israelis. Listen to what your pastor says tonight. It's not God's will. Not God's will. Not the plan of God. They're going against God. Because God said, it's my land. And he's giving it to the children of Israel for it as an inheritance forever. I want to come to that first verse. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord. I want to stop right there. The earth is the Lord. He's the creator. He made it. And it's all his. I read some scriptures on another occasion when speaking to Moses and the children of Israel. God said these words, it shall not be so forever, for it is mine. That's the land of Israel. It shall not be so forever, for it is mine. The negotiations are going on, as I've already mentioned, is not God's will. In the 50th chapter of Psalm, for every beast of the forest is mine, God said. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they're mine, God says. In the 11th verse, all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine, God says. In the 89th chapter, the writer says, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. So I want to stop tonight right here. He's the creator. He made every bit of it. It all belongs to him. And whatever we have tonight, if not ours, it belongs to him. We are stewards of the Lord. That's why we ought to treat whatever God puts in our hands, it's being God's and not ours. Amen, amen. The question is raised in the third chapter, in the third verse. On the 24th chapter, you have your Bibles open. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Think about it, if you will. The question is, who is worthy? What is a man? Is a man with worthiness? Whatever it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? I want to read this with you tonight. The hill of the Lord, in this instance, happens to be Jerusalem's Mount Zion, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Almighty God, representing the presence of God. And David is saying in reality, who is worthy to come into the presence of the Almighty God? I want to say that again. Who is worthy to come into the presence of Almighty God? Some of us might say, well, Brother Jones, I'm not worthy. Remember what I say now. When you got saved, He saved and forgave every one of your sins to make you worthy. We don't come in our own power, we come in His. We don't come in our goodness, we come in His. We don't come in our righteousness, we come in His. He's worthy, He's worthy to come into the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And He goes on to give the response, He that has clean hands and a pure heart. So I want to just share some Bible study things with us as we go through the night. As we go to the sermon, He said, they that have clean hands, we have mentioned, and you know what the Bible says about clean hands. It's talking about deeds, our actions, what we do with our hands, our works. And the man, the Bible says, he that had clean hands, when the Levite, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies to minister in his duties before the Lord, going into the presence of God, he had to stop by the blaze of labor outside the Holy of Holies in the outer court, and he had to wash himself, and then he went into open the sacrifices and do what God would have in you. Listen closely. If we go into the presence of the Almighty God, the only one that's worthy is having clean hands.
Amen.
But David didn't stop there. He said, and a clean and a pure heart. And a pure heart. Did you know the priest of the tribe of Levi? They were not just automatically. They had some responsibilities as well. I know. I bet you cannot be a priest if you're not a part of the house of Levi, of the tribe of Levi and of the house of Aaron. I know that. But just because it was a Levite doesn't mean that all of those were prepared and ready. A Levite had to have a clean hands and a pure heart. That means a Levite had to live an upright life in order to come into a tabernacle of God. Now, I don't have the blackboard, and you know it in your mind. Having the three parts of the tabernacle of God, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And when the priest went every day, and where the showbread was, and where the candlestick was, and all the rest in the holy place, he had to go in there with clean hands. And he had to be living uprightly. And this is important for all of us to understand tonight, because the question is raised, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall come to the holy Mount Zion, not only in Jerusalem, but I want to come to this business thinking, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord in the glory world? The hill of the Lord, thinking about this in the 24th chapter of the book of Psalms, is talking spiritually speaking about the high place of God.
In the third heaven, in paradise, who is ready to come into the presence of God? He that has clean hands and pure heart. It's important tonight. We were singing a while ago about I'll be perfect when I'm standing in His presence. Did you know there is a perfection on the way to perfection? With clean hands and a pure heart here.
Amen.
Until we get on beyond into the very presence of the Almighty God. When you read the 24th chapter, and he begins to answer, respond by these words, he that hath a clean hath clean hands and a pure heart, it ought to cause each one of us to understand and realize that this is an example for us, the priest of that day. Did you know you and I tonight are priests of God?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Right in the New Testament says, we are a holy priesthood. We're a peculiar people. We are a separated people.
Yes.
We're not like the world. Thank God. I'm tired of that life, and that's why I got saved. When God invited me, he got me at the right time. In fact, everybody gets saved at the right time. He got me at the right time because I was tired of living the kind of life I was living, a dual life. It was wrong, and I was convicted and condemned and all the rest. But when he got a hold of my heart that night, something got a hold of me. The Lord got a hold of me. When I left, something had changed in my heart and in my life. And I'm glad tonight that although we're not worthy within ourselves, he makes us worthy when he saves us from our sins. Amen. 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 Spiritually speaking, the hill of the Lord is the highest heaven, John, where God dwells in His holy place. And the question is raised, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? First of all, he that hath clean hands. Clean hands. We sing the chorus. You ask me why I'm happy. So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy. What makes you happy? What is it that causes you to have joy when it seems like those around about, on the job, in the school, wherever, have nothing to be happy about or thankful for? I believe a Christian, even though they might be suffering affliction and be going to a hard place financially, and the dark clouds are hanging low over the whole the house and over the very heart, I believe a Christian can have the joy in the midst of it all.
Amen.
I've often said, I'll repeat it one more time tonight, our joy is not tied to circumstances. Our joy happens to be part of what God has done in our hearts and lives. If you have the victory in your soul, brother, regardless of how you feel, what you're doing in life, what's going on, you can have the joy bells ringing.
Amen.
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 Amen. Some people feel, Jesus Christ, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why, because my sins are gold, they're forgiven, they've been washed away, they've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you, I mentioned, of course, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why, because my sins are gold, they're forgiven, they've been washed away, they've been covered by the blood, they're kept cast into the depths of the sea, the Bible in the song that I said, they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. There's good, and that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gold. I can say tonight, praise God, my sins are gold. I'm saved by grace through faith. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. This thing was not just real in 1955, in the month of February. It's good in the month of February, 2014.
Amen.
It's still good.
Amen.
Somebody said it's getting gooder all the time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thought, they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone. One more thought right here. They will never be remembered against us anymore. Man, that's enough to rejoice about. Devil will try to make you believe that when we stand before God, all those things you used to do when you were saved, how that's all going to be up there. How would you know they've been all covered?
Amen.
They've all been cast behind his back, and they will never, 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 never be remembered against you. The devil doesn't forget. People won't forget. They'll bring up things. They'll try to do all kinds of things to beat you down, but Jesus Christ will never beat you down. He'll lift you up. Hallelujah. These things that we have done, and I'm not pleased. And I'm really ashamed of some of the things that I did back younger than sin. But thank God they've all been washed away. They've all been covered by the blood. If that's your testimony tonight, you've got something to rejoice about.
Amen.
If that's your testimony tonight, you can thank God. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. There's joy in serving the Lord. There's praising and blessing God. Amen. This thing is real.
Amen.
Holy, glory, glory. I wish I could tell it just like it is, but I can't. I'm run out of words. My vocabulary is limited anyhow, but I don't have the right words to say what I feel, but I'm glad he knows.
Amen.
I'm glad he understands.
Hallelujah.
I love him. Thank God for what he's doing.
Amen.
I thank God for clean hands. You know what that means? All sin has been taken care of. I thank God for that tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on him. Thank God tonight. All sin has been washed away, forgiven. We've been adopted in the family of God and have got something to rejoice about. And it's a type of salvation. Clean hands. And then David went on to say, and a pure heart. And I mentioned that this morning in that parable, how that the good Samaritan had to pour in the wine to cleanse and to
and to kill the germs or what have you. I thank God for, and I say this humbly as I know how, I thank God for the doctrine of holiness. Now some people might have a misunderstanding. We've had Bible study on Wednesday nights, and I've tried to give, as best I knew how, the history of the church. Going all the way back to Jesus saying, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All the way to the day. I mentioned about the 18th and 19th centuries how that there was a real revival of holiness across the land with John Wesley and George Whitfield and Charles Wesley and so many others in the Methodist Church. How then the Methodist Church came out of that great Reformation by Martin Luther, and they began to preach these men that I just mentioned began to preach holiness and sanctification. I thank God for all of that. I thank God for the Nazarene Church and the Free Methodist Church and the Methodist Church and the Holy Churches of the 20th century and the 19th century. I pray God for that. And I want everyone to understand Charles Wesley and Thomas Smith did not begin the Holy Church. Way back down in the Old Testament, David said 1,000 years before the Lord came, he said we need to have clean hands and a pure heart. He was talking about wholeness. Wholeness! I jotted something down. I don't want to ever forget. It's real. Wholeness is the best life in the world. You can't improve on it. Doesn't mean that you can't get close to God, but living holy, brother, that's the best life there is. I thought about the Pentecostal Holiness Church. 1898, they were organized as a Pentecostal Holiness Church, and then they realized that they didn't have Pentecost. They believed in it, but didn't have it. And so they dropped the name of Pentecost. And then when that great revival broke out in Azusa Street and Los Angeles and spread across Topeka, Kansas and Dunn, North Carolina and then around the world, they reorganized in a sense and put the Pentecost back in the name. In 1911, they merged with the Baptized Holiness out of Georgia. They were the first Pentecostal major denomination, Pentecostal denomination in America. Church of God came along and organized. And the Assemblies of God in 1914 organized. And then the Church of God, what is the black church? Can't remember right now. But they have groomed them all. And they were organized, I think it's in about 1915, 1914. But God has blessed us. But I want to leave this evening tonight. This is important for all of us. Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to stand in the presence of God? Who's going to arrive in that place called heaven? Who's going to be there? Who's going to be there in that day? Those that have clean hands and pure heart. I read the writer to the Hebrews said something like this. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Be sanctification. You know the rest of the verse. Without it, no man shall see the Lord. What is required to stand in the presence of God and have clean hands and a pure heart? This is not a new doctrine. This is Bible. I mentioned this morning, I already mentioned tonight, a lot of people even in that day, they wanted to go their own route, their own way, like David and Amina, and they put that ark of the covenant on a new cart, but God said, that's not my way. If we'll go God's way, brother, we can have the joy of victory, but if we have our own way, we will suffer.
Amen.
Help us, God. Help us, God, tonight, every one of us. Clean hands and a pure heart. Living holy. Living holy. Living holy. Living holy. We've come to the day, Sister Dreamer was teaching the class this morning, and she mentioned this, and I agree with her wholeheartedly. How this told me in my day. Don't want to mention sin anymore. Don't want to mention these up. We try to call everything in the world affliction, a sickness, a disease, sin. It's sin.
Amen.
We can paint it up. We can put it in a frame. We can hang it up. But it's still sin.
Amen.
A man is so drunken to say, oh, he's just got a disease.
Come on now.
Everything is an affliction. Brother, sin. The world needs to hear that sin is that which destroys.
Amen.
I come back to the thought tonight. Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going? Who Who's going? Who's going? If we're not careful, and I've done this, I look around and I think of all the people. I was lying in bed the other night, and I was trying to think of people that I preached to, and I counted 67 that I could remember out of this church. As pastor of this church, I preached and this speech or something. And then somebody was talking to me today, and I thought of another one. They brought us up and thought of another one. I don't know how many. But this is the point. We're living in a day when it seems as if in the Christian church that all you have to do is die. And you're going to send me to the hell of the Lord. And multiplied millions are going to be left behind. And I pray for this church daily. And I thank God for every one of you. I don't want anyone to be deceived. I don't want my family to be deceived. I want everyone to know it's going to take something to recover.
Amen.
It's going to take clean hands and a pure heart. You know what a pure heart is? Someone that has laid it all on the altar. Made a total commitment to God. Surrendered everything. I stood like this 60 years ago this month when my lady friend, I won't call her name, came down that aisle. She was given away by her father, and I turned and she took my arm 60 years ago this month. When we had come that night, I made a commitment that I was going to stay with her as long as we lived. I was going to love her. I was going to cherish her. I was going to do my best to take care of her. And maybe I'll fall and fail a lot of times. That commitment is still strong tonight.
Amen.
I made up my mind. And a year later, when we got saved, I made another commitment to God. And I'm going to serve with everything I've got.
Amen. Amen.
When that great day comes, I'm going to have clean hands and a pure heart. I've laid it all on the altar. I know I've made a lot of funds. I know there's plenty of faults in each one of us, especially in me. I know that. One thing that I can tell you tonight, my heart is screaming. It's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Samuel said as he was leaving this world, the point of this world, if there's something that I've done wrong, something that I failed you in, let me know. I don't want anything to be taken care of. Paul said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, I finished my course. And I know that my time, I understand what I said a while ago about the changeover. We don't need a lot of prayer. We know the preacher will need a lot of prayer. That's true.
Yes,
he will. He'll be every one of us all.
That's right.
He's a young man, he's never happened to run into some days, he never thought it would be there. But God can be God.
Yes.
He's going to help you.
Amen.
What he's saying in our future, I'm telling you, that he'll save the Lord, brother, when he goes to rise in the place called heaven, we're going to send him to the hill of the Lord, we're going to be with the Almighty, forever and ever. Hallelujah, I'm going to read over the 24th chapter of the book of Psalm. I mention the first verse, the word of the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And the third verse he said, whom shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? And then he says in the fourth verse, he gives the answer, a two-part answer. He that hath clean hands and he has a pure heart, being saved and sanctified, loving God with all his heart. I know these words were written 1,000 years ago by King David. I know that they were penned in the 24th Psalm, having to do with worshiping God and coming into the presence of the Lord and coming to heaven's Mount Zion, not only in Jerusalem, to the Mount Zion of Jerusalem, but talking about heaven's Mount Zion in the presence of the living God. I jotted some things down. I've never read them. I didn't get them from anywhere else, but I say this tonight. And when I'm talking about living a holy life, the Bible tells me that Enoch, the Old Testament prophet, preached it. That Job lived it. That Noah believed it. That Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount taught it. That the book of Acts, Luke wrote about it. Paul emphasized it when he wrote to the people of Thessalonica. And I thank God is still real tonight. Holy living. Holy living.
is the best life a man can have. Anywhere. I was getting ready to say this side of heaven. Anywhere. So I'm just going to give a testimony briefly. And then I'm going to close out and we're going to have communion. I thought, and I've heard some of you testify, I thought about my heritage. And I'm not going to go over it. But I will stop right now thanking God for the heritage that I have. Can you imagine having lived as long as I lived, have lived? And all of my life, from a very young child, the first thing I can remember was about God and the Holy Church. I'm glad it's that way. I was privileged. Doesn't mean that I'm better than anyone else, but I thank God for the heritage that my wife and I both have. And I want to leave a heritage to my family. I want to live such a life till my last breath that each one of them will know it's real. I'm so tired of sham and pretense and pomp and ceremony and ritual. What we need is the real thing.
Yes.
And I jotted something that I wanted to just say, and I'm going to close.
Hallelujah.
When the trumpet sounds, it's those with clean hands and a pure heart that are going to be changed. They're going to be caught out. I don't know about everyone else, but I'm getting excited. I know Mike and Shelly are getting excited. And if the Lord tarries, rightfully so, getting married. But I'm getting excited about that reunion time on the other side. And I jotted it down. We're going to receive our glorified bodies. That's more than I can take in. We're going to be caught out in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to join the resurrected saints as they come out of their graves. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to ascend into the heavens, to heaven's Mount Zion. We're going to meet together with the redeemed of the ages. We're going to begin eternity in His presence, singing praises unto the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. I am not going to try to repeat that tonight, but I hope that you'll understand we are just a breath away. We are just a step away from the greatest event that's taken place since we got saved. Tonight we're going to gather around the table of the Lord. We're going to remember Him till He comes. We are just one step, one breath, one heartbeat, one moment away from that day. We came to church tonight early, as we always do Sunday night. For my wife, I didn't feel good. I felt sweaty and weak. And I came over here and sat down and read and prayed. I feel much better now. But I want everyone to understand, you don't have to be 82 years old to be called out. Any of us could go at any time. What I want and what I pray for, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I really like what's going to go together.
Amen.
But if we don't, prepare yourself. Be sure when you're out of shadow of a doubt. Be sure that your hands are clean. Everything is under the blood. Every sin has been covered and forgiven. Be sure your heart is pure. Nothing wrong, nothing between you and man, nothing between you and God. A pure heart.
Because the Bible says they're going to see the Lord. They're going to stand in the presence of God. I close with the same thought that I mentioned this morning. My wife's going to play out. We're going to sing. We're going to have communion. Worshiping God. I mentioned in the close of the service this morning that He's yonder at the right hand of the Father. I'm glad He's there. I'm glad He's there. When I got saved, my grandfather Parker, was praying for me. But he's gone. My mom prayed for me every day. My mom's gone. My dad prayed for me. My dad's gone. People in this church, from one side to the other, prayed and we prayed together. Many that they're gone. He's still praying. He's still praying for us. He's still making an intercession.
Yes.
Don't ever feel as if you're all alone because He's praying.
Amen.
He's praying for us. Don't you know that the Father hears when He prays?
Yes.
Don't you know the Father wants to do what the Son asks? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Whatever He asks of the Father is for our good.
Amen.
And when it's glorious, He's there tonight. We sing that song, honey. Oh, I will see Him. Look upon His face. Let it be forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know how to worship right now. Oh, I will see Him. And I'm going to see Him. By the help of God. Who's going to see Him? Who's going to ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who's going to stand in the presence of the Almighty? Who's going to be there? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart.